He never seems to mind when we do remind him. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 265. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. I'm glad you're here today. Today, we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapters 6 through 10. Let's pray. Our Father, you said that when we seek you, we would find you. I ask that you help us to pray according to your will, and thank you for hearing us when we pray that way. Help us to please you this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon said, Yahweh has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built you a house and home, a place for you to dwell in forever. The king turned his face and blessed all the assembly of Israel, and all the assembly of Israel stood. He said, Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to David my father, and has with his hands fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there, and I chose no man to be prince over my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. But Yahweh said to David my father, Whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build a house, but your son who will come out of your body, he shall build a house for my name. Yahweh has performed his word that he spoke, for I have risen up in the place of David my father, and I sit on the throne of Israel, as Yahweh promised, and have built the house for the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. There I have set the ark, in which is Yahweh's covenant, which he made with the children of Israel. He stood before Yahweh's altar in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a bronze scaffold, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the middle of the court. And he stood on it, and knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yahweh, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep covenant and loving kindness with your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David my father that which you promised him. Yes, you spoke with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand as it is today. Now therefore, Yahweh, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David my father that which you have promised him, saying, There shall not fail you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children take heed to their way, to walk in my law as you have walked before me. Now therefore, Yahweh, the God of Israel, let your word be verified, which you spoke to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain you. How much less this house which I have built? Yet have respect for the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, Yahweh my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this house day and night, even toward the place where you have said that you would put your name, to listen to the prayer which your servant will pray toward this place. Listen to the petitions of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Yes, hear from your dwelling place, even from heaven, and when you hear, forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor, and an oath is laid on him to cause him to swear, and he comes and swears before your altar in this house, then hear from heaven, act, and judge your servants, bringing retribution to the wicked to bring his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. If your people Israel are struck down before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and they turn again and confess your name, and pray and make supplication before you in this house, then hear from heaven, and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again to the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. When the sky is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place and confess your name, and turn from their sin when you afflict them, Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants of your people Israel, when you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people for an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, locust or caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer and supplication is made by any man, or by all your people Israel, who will each know his own plague and his own sorrow, and shall spread out his hands toward this house, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive, and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you, even you only, know the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear you to walk in your ways, so long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning the foreigner, who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your great name's sake, and your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray toward this house, then hear from heaven, even from your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you for, that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. If your people go out to battle against their enemies, by whatever way you send them, and they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no man who doesn't sin, and you are angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive to a land far off or near, yet if they come to their senses in the land where they are carried captive, and turn again, and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, "We have sinned, we have done perversely, and have dealt wickedly," if they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have carried them captive, and pray toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, and the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, even from your dwelling place, their prayer and their petitions, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, let, I beg you, your eyes be open, and let your ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, Yahweh God, into your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, Yahweh God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. Yahweh God, don't turn away the face of your anointed. Remember your loving kindness to David, your servant. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and Yahweh's glory filled the house. The priests could not enter into Yahweh's house because Yahweh's glory filled Yahweh's house. All the children of Israel looked on when the fire came down, and Yahweh's glory was on the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground on the pavement, worshipped, and gave thanks to Yahweh, saying, "For he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before Yahweh. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated God's house. The priests stood, according to their positions. The Levites also, with instruments of music of Yahweh, which David the king had made to give thanks to Yahweh, when David praised by their ministry, saying, "For his loving kindness endures forever." The priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon made the middle of the court that was before Yahweh's house holy, for there he offered the burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the fat. So Solomon held the feast at that time for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. On the 8th day they held a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the goodness that Yahweh had shown to David and to Solomon, and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished Yahweh's house and the king's house, and he successfully completed all that came into Solomon's heart to make in Yahweh's house and in his own house. Yahweh appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the sky so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and made this house holy, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, according as I covenanted with David your father, saying, there shall not fail you a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have made holy for my name I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. This house, which is so high, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has Yahweh done this to this land and to this house? They shall answer, because they abandoned Yahweh, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and took other gods, worshipped them, and served them. Therefore he has brought all this evil on them. 2 Chronicles chapter 8. It took 20 years for the Lord's temple and Solomon's palace to be built. After that, Solomon had his workers rebuild the towns that Hiram had given him. Then Solomon sent Israelites to live in those towns. Solomon attacked and captured the town of Hamath-Zobah. He ordered his workers to build the town of Tadmor in the desert and some towns in Hamath where he could keep his supplies. He strengthened Upper Beth-Horon and Lower Beth-Horon by adding walls and gates that could be locked. He did the same thing to the town of Baalath and to the cities where he kept supplies, chariots, and horses. Solomon ordered his workers to build whatever he wanted in Jerusalem, Lebanon, and anywhere else in his kingdom. Solomon did not force the Israelites to do his work. Instead, they were his soldiers, officers, army commanders, and cavalry troops. But he did make slaves of the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites who were living in Israel. These were the descendants of those foreigners the Israelites did not destroy, and they remained Israel's slaves. Solomon appointed 250 officers to be in charge of his workers. Solomon's wife, the daughter of the king of Egypt, moved from the part of Jerusalem called David's City to her new palace that Solomon had built. The sacred chest had been kept in David's City, which made his palace sacred, and so Solomon's wife could no longer live there. Solomon offered sacrifices to the Lord on the altar he had built in front of the temple porch. He followed the requirements that Moses had given for sacrifices offered on the Sabbath, on the first day of each month, the festival of thin bread, the harvest festival, and the festival of shelters. Solomon then assigned the priests and the Levites their duties at the temple, and he followed the instructions that his father, the man of God, had given him. Some of the Levites were to lead music and to help the priests in their duties, and others were to guard the temple gates and the storage rooms. The priests and the Levites followed these instructions exactly. Everything Solomon had planned to do was now finished, from the laying of the temple's foundation to its completion. Solomon went to Ezion-Geber and Eloth, two Edomite towns on the Red Sea. Hiram sent him ships and some of his experienced sailors. They went with Solomon's own sailors to the country of Ophir and brought back more than 15 tons of gold for Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. The queen of Sheba heard how famous Solomon was, so she went to Jerusalem to test him with difficult questions. She took along several of her officials, and she loaded her camels with gifts of spices, jewels, and gold. When she arrived, she and Solomon talked about everything she could think of. He answered every question, no matter how difficult it was. The queen was amazed at Solomon's wisdom. She was breathless when she saw his palace, the food on his table, his officials, all his servants in their uniforms, and the sacrifices he offered at the Lord's temple. She said, "Solomon, in my own country I have heard about your wisdom and all you've done, but I didn't believe it until I saw it with my own eyes. And there's so much I didn't hear about. You are greater than I was told. Your people and your officials are lucky to be here where they can listen to the wise things you say. I praise the Lord your God. He is pleased with you and has made you king of Israel. God loves the people of this country and will never desert them, so he has given them a king who will rule fairly and honestly." The Queen of Sheba gave Solomon more than 4 tons of gold, a large amount of jewels, and the best spices anyone had ever seen. In return, Solomon gave her everything she wanted, even more than she had given him. Then she and her officials went back to their own country. Hiram's and Solomon's sailors brought gold, juniper wood, and jewels from the country of Ophir. Solomon used the wood to make steps for the temple and palace, and harps and other stringed instruments for the musicians. Nothing like these had ever been made in Judah. Solomon received almost 23 tons of gold each year, not counting what the merchants and traders brought him. The kings of Arabia and the leaders of Israel also gave him gold and silver. Solomon made 200 gold shields that weighed over 3 kilograms each. He also made 300 smaller gold shields that weighed almost 2 kilograms, and he put these shields in his palace in Forest Hall. His throne was made of ivory and covered with pure gold. It had a gold footstool attached to it and armrests on each side. There was a statue of a lion on each side of the throne, and there were 2 lion statues on each of the 6 steps leading up to the throne. No other throne in the world was like Solomon's. Solomon's cups and dishes in Forest Hall were made of pure gold, because silver was almost worthless in those days. Solomon had a lot of seagoing ships. Every 3 years he sent them out with Hiram ships to bring back gold, silver, and ivory, as well as monkeys and peacocks. Solomon was the richest and wisest king in the world. Year after year, other kings came to hear the wisdom God had given him, and they brought gifts of silver and gold, as well as clothes, weapons, spices, horses, and mules. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his horses and chariots, and he owned 12,000 horses that he kept in Jerusalem and other towns. He ruled all the nations from the Euphrates River in the north to the land of Philistia in the south, as far as the border of Egypt. While Solomon was king, there was silver everywhere in Jerusalem, and cedar was as common as the sycamore trees in the western foothills. Solomon's horses were brought in from other countries, including Musrai. Everything else Solomon did while he was king is written in the records of Nathan the prophet, Ahijah the prophet from Shiloh, and Iddo the prophet who wrote about Jeroboam, son of Nebat. After Solomon had ruled 40 years from Jerusalem, he died and was buried in the city of his father David. His son Rehoboam then became king. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and all Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Come back to me in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If you will be kind to these people and please them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "The people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam. As the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered them harshly. Rejecting the advice of the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from God, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David." So all the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. The temple that King David first thought to build, but which God said he could not build because he'd been a man of war, his son Solomon has now completed, as had been promised by God. So there's a great time of sacrificing and dedication, lasting for 7 days. Can you imagine what a great time this was? How joyous the people must have been? And then God appears to Solomon for a second time in response to the great prayer of dedication that Solomon offered in chapter 6. And God said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I've chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Beloved, Solomon had prayed that if the people ever stray from God and suffer the consequences brought upon them by God as judgment, if they then rededicate themselves to him, that he would forgive them. In his response, God made the promise, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," etc., etc. I've repeated this promise of God many times on the show. Some might say that God made this promise to Solomon at this time about the people of Israel. It doesn't apply to anybody else, you might say. Well, let's look back at Solomon's prayer of dedication in chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. He said, "In the future, foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel will hear of you. They will come from distant lands when they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your powerful arm. And when they pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. In this way, all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built honors your name." Beloved, we are those foreigners Solomon was talking about. And in God's response to Solomon's prayer, God began with the words, "I have heard your prayer." God will honor his promise to heal the land of people who humble themselves. I know I've talked about this promise time and time again on this podcast, but I believe it's important to emphasize it. We know from Scripture that David and others repeated God's promises many, many times. God's promises must be repeated for our benefit. And though God does not need to be reminded, he never seems to mind when we do remind him. I think that by repeating his promises to him, we show that our hearts are sincere. Yes, God's promise is for us. And when Jesus was crucified and the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, God sent the message that we do not need the temple to be the place where God hears our prayers or where sacrifices are made. Jesus is our high priest, and he was the final, lasting sacrifice. Beloved, if we humbly confess our sins, if we turn to him, he will heal our land. We have his promise on that. Do you have a comment? I'd like to hear it. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. To find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 265, or look in your podcast app. Our reading tomorrow will be Psalms 114 through 116. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Remember God's promises. Bye.